Good morning, everyone. Kindly turn your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles 16, from verse 23 to 36. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for the joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord for his good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may bring thanks to your holy name and glory in your strength. The last verse. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless his words in our hearts in Jesus' name.
morning again. Thank you for the welcome. Before we get going, I do want to bring greetings from Robin Lanham. Some of you may know Robin. And also Brian and Ruth Goodchild were here about 8-9 years ago. Some of you who have been here a while would remember them. They also send their greetings. So, thank you for the songs too. That really captures our theme for this morning, so I really appreciate the selection of those. And yeah, as we unpack God's word, or before we do, I'd just love to pray if you join with me. Gracious God, thank you for this time that we have to unpack your word. Lord, these are sacred times and moments, and Lord, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to really minister to us, to show us what it is that you would have for each one of us individually and also as a body of Christ. And we thank you for the privilege it is to serve you and to have your word so freely available. So I just pray that you'd use it this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That video we saw, I've seen that a few times now, and it impacts me all the time, just the reality of the need out there. And I think if I were to sum up that video in a few words, it would probably be something like this: that for those of us who are followers of Christ, how can we ignore the needs of the unreached? We're so privileged, aren't we, in this country, to have churches on not every corner, but almost, if you understand that expression, and so many resources available. We've got Christian bookstores, we've got online availability, and it's just a blessing to be able to live in this country. Yet at the same time, there are so many in our world who have no access to the gospel like we do, who are living without hope, that we kind of saw in that brief video. And this was the reality for Haley. Haley's a lady in a Central Asian country, and Haley grew up in a culture that where the name of Christ was totally foreign. She spent her childhood and teenage years in a small, very conservative Muslim town, which was very hostile to the gospel. However, as she grew, and through the witness of a Christian expat family, through her curiosity in the person of Jesus, and subsequently completing a Bible discovery course, Haley surrendered her life to Christ and has continued growing in the Lord despite the persecution of some of her family and friends. Her husband, while not yet a believer, has not stopped her from spending time with Christian believers or Christians, which is quite unusual in that part of the world, where the ties to Islam, the cultural ties, are really strong. So I share that story about Haley just to encourage you that God is at work in the nations today, and I'll share a bit more about that as we go through. And he's at work among people groups like Haley's people group, where there's great resistance to the gospel. And you know that stories like Haley's can only be a work of God. Yes, through humans, but primarily through him, a supernatural work. I don't know about you, but that really excites me when I think that when my earthly life is done, I'll be together with believers from every tribe, every language, every people and nation, worshipping God together. And we get a little glimpse of that, don't we, here on earth. Even this morning, with the mix of cultures, it's wonderful to see. But that will be an amazing opportunity for us, those of us who are part of God's family, to be face-to-face with other believers. We can look forward to that with great expectation. So what about our passage this morning? Thank you for the reading this morning. And the book of Chronicles, written in about 430 years before Christ, possibly by the chief priest Ezra, but there's some uncertainty over that. Most scholars refer to the author as the chronicler, just to be safe. And he gives a great insight into God at work through the generations, particularly as it's related to the people of Israel. And the chapter that was read to us describes really the final stage of transporting this Ark of the Covenant, which for the Israelites was very important. It symbolized God's presence And throughout the Old Testament, stories abound of how God provided safety and success using the symbol of the ark. And the reason for the ark was, or the reason it was so important to the Israelites was because it represented God's presence with them in this visual way. They knew that as long as God was with them, then his provision and his protection would also be with them as well. And this chapter focuses on thanksgiving for the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm not sure if you, as you heard the words or were reading, thought, this is really sounding familiar, because it's very reminiscent of some of the Psalms of praise to God, and a reminder of God's heart for the nations, and in particular, the power and the importance of praise in the context of God's plan for salvation. So as we break down these verses, I should have said, sorry, at the start, there is a sermon. I think most of you might have an outline, a handout, for those of you who may like to follow. For some people that's useful, for others that's, you can, it's okay. But it just may help. There's no slides this morning, but this may be of help. Excuse me. So as we break down these verses, just three things really I'd like to suggest. And firstly, the command that's given to the believer in the first part of our reading. As it started off, we're reminded that this message of salvation is universal, and it's not exclusive to one culture or one people group, but it's all-encompassing, all-inclusive. And as I thought about that, I thought, I wonder if us in the West at times have failed to live out this truth, maybe in subtle ways. What do I mean by that? Well, we're pretty comfortable here, aren't we? I reckon we've got a pretty good life. And I think whilst that's a blessing, it's also a danger, because we can be so comfortable and so blasé about our existence that we just totally forget about the world out there. I'm speaking to myself here. I'm not criticizing, but that can be, for me, that can be a reality. And I'm not proud of that, because there's a world out there who, like we saw, a third of the world have had no access to the gospel. So for me, there's that sense of that comfortable lifestyle that can even lead to apathy and ho-hum. Yeah, we look at that, we hear, okay, that's for some super spiritual people, but, you know, don't touch me, I'm okay. I've got my life here, you know. I'm being a little bit, you know, perhaps exaggerating a little, but it can be that way at times, I think. And so we get this sense of the command. Actually, there's some imperative statements. I don't know if you picked them up. It took me a while to really realise what the writer here is saying. We get words like in verse 23 and 24. Did you see them? Proclaim, sing, declare, tell. You know, they're not suggestions, they're commands, okay? We're going to, you know, share this in a very imperative way. And the writer exhorts the whole earth to sing to the Lord. Why? Well, the next part of the verse tells us, because this good news of salvation, it's good news. You know, if you've got good news to share, you don't keep it to yourself, do you? You want to let people know about it. So that's the sense here of, you know, let's declare this to the nations, to the peoples, that it's good news of salvation. Verse 24, where do we declare his glory? Well, among the nations. And this idea of the nations was not something that the writer of Chronicles invented. If you think back to Genesis 12, Abraham, you know, what did he do? God called him to leave his country and leave his people, to go to an unknown place, to a foreign land where God would do a mighty work through Abraham, where he would go beyond the nation of Israel to be a blessing to other nations. So it's this is not new. This is, you know, we've got Old Testament examples of this as well. And then if we fast forward, if you like, to the New Testament, and Jesus talked about the nations and the language, the Greek, the translation of the word nations actually means people groups and cultures, not just individual nations. For example, Pakistan as a nation, you know, we could think of Pakistan as a country. Did you know there are 400 individual people groups just within Pakistan? So this sense of the Jesus of the nations means these thousands of people groups that we have in our world today. So this had been prophesied way back to Abraham and through the pages of Scripture, as I'm sure you're aware of. And as we think about people groups, ethnic groups, did you know that there are 16,000 approximately in our world today? And 7,000 of those have no access to the gospel, have not heard the name of Christ. We call these unreached people groups. Those who, there's no access, no scriptures in their language, etc. And that's an astonishing figure. Jesus said, and we saw that verse, I'm not sure if you picked it up in that video, that he will not return until these people have heard his name. According to Matthew 24:14, Christ's return is being delayed until every people group on earth have had this opportunity to hear the message of salvation. So clearly there's some work to be done still. Let's continue in our passage, verse 24. In the same verse, this declaring among the nations, it says, tell everyone about the amazing things he has done. So that's a reminder to us, I guess in a prophetic sense, from the chronicler, that this good news has its foundation in Jesus. We're not telling people about how clever we are or how our country, our church has got it all together. It's a message of salvation through Jesus, through the work of him, God in the flesh who came to earth to show us, to give us hope, to give us a future. I wonder if this is a practice of yours. I wonder if you take those opportunities to share about him in your family, in your neighbourhood, in your work context, because it's got to start there. And there are opportunities, aren't there? Are you following the promptings of the Holy Spirit to just speak that word in season to encourage that person who's weak in the faith or has no faith or who is going through really difficult issues to share with them the hope that you have? Good reminder. So firstly, we've got this command to the believers. Secondly, we've got the challenge that comes with sharing, verses 25 through to 27. And I don't need to tell you that the Christian life is not without its challenges, its problems, its difficulties. I'm sure many of you can testify to that. It's not as if we come to Jesus and suddenly all our problems disappear. We're in a spiritual battle, people, family, aren't we? There's an enemy there who seeks to attack and discourage us, to tear us down, to weigh us down, to steer us off course. And in some countries, there's an intense hostility toward the gospel that we don't know about actually here. Yeah, there can be indifference here, that's true, but now we're free to share. Our lives are not in danger. There's not hostility in that sense. This hostility is a reality for one of our people. I'll call her Eva. That's not her real name. She lives in an Asian country with her husband, who's from that country. And Eva has been there for over 40 years. So not quite 52 like Short and Anne, but getting up there. Faithful worker. Perseveres and in a culture where the ties to Buddhism are incredibly strong. My understanding is if you are in that culture and you decide, you choose to walk, to surrender to Christ, then prepare yourself for persecution. This Eva and her husband have seen their small church grow and then diminish through various things, through either persecution, through sickness, The winters in that country are incredibly severe, so people can't travel because of the snow, or a whole host of things. But yet they persevere, they push through, they continue. In one situation, one lady from that culture, who Eva had been ministering to, was preparing for baptism, which, again, you can imagine is a big step in that culture. She was almost there. However, she was prevented by her husband from removing all the Buddhist shrines that there were in her home. She felt she needed to do that, but he wouldn't allow her to do that. She began living in fear and began this whole sense of a burdensome and fear overpowered her, and she chose not to pursue baptism. Yet Eva continues to be there for this lady. So I think of Eva, and I think despite the constant setbacks, she perseveres. She lives out the realities of these words in verses 25 to 27. She knows that the gods of that nation are real, but they're idols. They're not powerful. They're not real. Greater is he that is in her than he that is in the world. She continues to speak of the majesty of God, and strength and joy fill her heart, as verse 27 says. So there are challenges, aren't there? There are challenges for us, and there are challenges for those overseas. Thirdly, the character of God in all his fullness, verses 28 through to 33. And this is like a throwback, if you like, to the first part of where we heard about the nations praising to the Lord. It's almost like a repetition, almost, that the writer wants to stress this as something of great importance. I was particularly struck by verse 29 when it says, "Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor." When we think about worship, we're not just talking about singing songs on a Sunday, are we? We're talking about our whole lives. And how does that look for us here in this culture? Well, it actually looks very different here than it does in other places. I'd just love to show you a brief video of a minority people group in an Asian country. And for those of you who are online, this is going to just stop now because of the sensitive nature of this video. We'll watch it, then I'll come back to you after that. Thanks. John J. Thank you. That's the Zhuang people and minority group who have learned to sing the praises of God in their heart language. Did you see them with their Bibles open, with a preacher like we do here? Not exactly. But you did see they're mainly illiterate. They're a poor people group, yet their music is very much part of their culture. And so they've learned the message of salvation that we're reading about here through song. They're singing it to one another. And the amazing part about this is that they're not just enjoying singing, but the church is growing. These people are asking for, they're outgrowing their current situation. They're asking for, where can we meet? We want to invite more people. So we call that church planting in a culturally sensitive and appropriate way. It's just amazing. So pray for the Zhuang. Pray that the gospel continue to grow through song, through this way. There's one more example I'd like to share with you, just to encourage you that God is working in the nations today. Very different to what we've just seen. This is the Basque people. You may remember I shared with Dylan that this is an area, part of the world that Coralie and I had the privilege to live in. Unfortunately, we didn't get to learn their language. We were a bit lazy, actually, kind of lazy, but our context was a Spanish church, and our friends were Spanish, so the Basque are very different to the Spanish, even though they're located in the country. They're a people group who, under dictator Franco in the 1940s through to the 70s, were oppressed. He hated the Basques. He did everything he could to obliterate their culture. They have a unique language. He wanted that abolished. A whole story in itself. But with his passing in the mid-70s, the Basque people re-emerged, as it were. And to connect with Basques, the best thing to do is to speak their language, which is very difficult, actually. But many of the workers, many of the expats, the missionaries in that area are now finding that, hey, this is the key to link, to work with these people, to get to know them. And I've just got a very short video to show you of just what's happening there and some of the encouraging things. So thanks for watching this one.
Hello, we are Juan and Ainara, and we live in the Basque Country, in a town called Andoain, very near San Sebastian.
As a Basque, I am part of a unique people group with our own culture and even our own language, called Euskera. Unfortunately, we don't have a church in our own language. That's why we've been praying many years for this to happen.
The International Day of Prayer for the Basque People is a prayer initiative that encourages people around the world to pray for this people group. This year, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary, and we are very happy for the things that God has done so far. So why don't you join us and pray with us?
Your prayers will help us to see a Basque church for the Basque people in place.
Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you.
A Basque terrorist group called ETA waged a bloody campaign for independence from Spain and France for decades. Although ETA disbanded in 2018, there is still profound division in Basque society and bitterness over violent acts of the past. Families of slain victims cry out for justice. Others call for amnesty for imprisoned terrorists. Please pray with us for the healing of deep wounds and for God's peace to reign in the Basque region.
That goes on a bit further, but we'll stop it there. It's a little bit old, it's a couple of years old, but it just they have an annual prayer day for the Basque people that spills over into France, and so that was just, they were talking about that. But I don't know if you picked up that unlike the Zhuang, the Basques do not have a church in their heart language. And the believers, the Basque believers that certainly we met, struggle because they have to worship in Spanish, which is not their heart language. And so they do that because they want fellowship, and that's what you do, but there's a real yearning on the part of the Basques to have something more, to have a church, because there's nothing like being able to worship in your heart language. Some of you will understand this, I'm sure, who have come from different places. One very exciting thing, just as I finish with the Basques, is a few years ago there were some artists, some musicians came over and learnt some of their instruments and learned, talked to the believers, and through translation, of course. And after the week that they were there, they were writing songs in the Basque language, the Basque believers were. And they were visibly emotional to see. Just, wow, people have taken time to understand us and have provided us with these resources so we can just love God, worship Him in Euskera, our heart language. So two very different examples of how God is working in the nations today. And as I close, as we think about this message of salvation, I wonder what your part is. What part can you play in reaching the nations? There are a number of ways, aren't there? If you love to pray, I hope you do. If you're an interceder, pray for those people who have gone to other nations, to that they would persevere, that they would be encouraged and not lose heart. It's hard for many places, the hostility. So pray for them. Encourage them if you know some people by writing to them or WhatsApp. You know, today there's so many different ways that we can communicate. Be part of their lives. It's a huge encouragement to know that people back here are praying for them and interested in them. Talk to me about that later if you'd like to know how you can be involved. Maybe even visiting, maybe going. But there may be some of you here this morning who kind of wonder what this is all about. This is like, you maybe you feel like this is like another language to you. You perhaps don't understand all this. Can I encourage you to consider this good news that we've been talking about, this good news of salvation, this person of Jesus who gave his life for us so that we could have a future hope and eternity with him, and to realize that this world that we live in is not, there's more. And read some of the Gospels and find out about it. Talk to someone here. Talk to Dylan. Talk to someone you know, you trust. And I trust that in that journey that you might find him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life and the one that can spur you on to all that he has for you. Please join with me in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for the reminder of the nations and how your heart is for the nations. And we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of some of these people groups that are hostile to the gospel. And Lord, for the third that still are yet to hear, Lord, would you break down barriers? Would you open up opportunities so that they can hear the good news of Jesus? Encourage those who are there, Lord, we pray. And for any here this morning who might be struggling with this or who might be feeling challenged, Lord, would you encourage them and lead them on into all that you have for them. And we pray it all in your powerful name. Amen.